Hello and welcome to Search Party. This is the podcast where two best friends explore each other's internet search histories. I didn't say our names, did I?
Do we say our names? Is that part of the... Okay, I think at some point we do actually need to write the intro for this because every week...
There's some kind of a cock-up. Okay, well, anyway, I'm Jess and this is James. And yeah, you're very...
No, that's not James. I'm James. What do you mean this is James?
This bloke over there is James. Who is this bloke? Anyway, yes, you're very welcome.
What are you talking about?
Look, I know it's been a shambles so far, but if you do feel so inclined, please give us a follow on Instagram at Search Party Pod and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts from. Now we've got that bit over. Thank God for that.
Yeah, thank goodness. Oh, yeah, I also wanted to start off by thanking our listeners in their various forms. What on earth am I saying? Like cats, dogs. But we hit a milestone of 4,000 downloads this week, which we're very, very humbled by and very happy about.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening all. And as ever, please do all the things Jess said and also review us as it helps us reach more people and share with a mate if you think they are silly enough to enjoy it.
Or fit enough. All right. Shall we kick off? I'm going to choose one of yours.
Okay.
Okay, James. Okay. Why were you looking up, does Rufus Wainwright speak French?
So, I have a bit of a...
Is he a singer-songwriter?
He's a singer, he's a songwriter, he's a heartbreaker. yes, he is, yeah. He's got a very nice voice, Rufus Wainwright. He's a kind of guitar-y, you know, one of those. I have a bit of a thing about people speaking French when they're not French.
Like yourself?
No. No,
like
I don't mean
to. Quite often and have done on this podcast. No?
No, I don't mean, sorry, to be clear, I mean people who don't speak French doing it for like a song or in a film. For example, Brad Pitt in Allied, where he pretends to be a French spy, but no one's convinced. Like, it's so bad. Like, I can't watch it.
I haven't watched it. Go on, do an impression.
I literally don't think I can. The whole premise of the film is that he's meant to be an undercover spy and his French is meant to be so good that he's undetectable. But Brad Pitt's like, je pense que je suis un espion. Oh God, it's the fucking worst. I can't bear it. Look, I understand how this happens. Look, some films don't even get made unless you have a certain person in them. So I'm sure it was one of those. But it was such a central plot point that he was fully bilingual and fluently so that his like fucking, you know, GCSE French was not going to cut it.
Were all of his meeting points La Piscine? And did he really like playing football as well?
It very much had the GCSE French oral kind of like, pendant le week-end, j'aime beaucoup aller à la piscine. j'ai un pen pal, you know, that kind of shit. Yeah, it was fucking shit. And it completely killed the film for me, which is otherwise, I think, a pretty good film and has some really good moments in it. So I've got a bit of a thing about it. I was gutted when Lady Gaga did La Vie en Rose because it was just a bit out and didn't quite. By the way, my French is far from perfect and my accent is also far from perfect, but I think if I was accepting a role in something, I would work my fucking tits off. And it's not like they don't have coaches and vocal coaches and all this shit and it's just so bad. But I was in a sentence that could also just simply mean I'm not straight. I was listening to the soundtrack to the Moulin Rouge. And there's a song in the Moulin Rouge soundtrack by Rufus Wainwright called Complainte de la Butte, and it's really good and his French is like impeccable. Oh sorry, that's another song from the thing. Sorry about that. Okay, let's just, should we be allowed to do this copyright wise?
No, probably not.
Right. Anyway, sued by Rufus Wainwright. But anyway, his French is really nice, and I just kind of wondered how he did it, because, you know, I didn't think he was French, and he's not French, but he did grow up in the French bit of Canada. So, voilà.
All right.
Anyway, it's a lovely song. It's a really lovely song, so I recommend.
Okay, fantastic. I've never seen Moulin Rouge.
Sorry?
Never. Just looks a bit shit.
It's it's not shit. It's a really good film.
Okay. Maybe I'll give it a go.
It's good. It's a bit sad, I think.
Mm.
But yeah, the songs are cracking. And also, Ewan McGregor, what a voice. What really? A voice. Oh my God, it's absolutely stunning. It makes you instantly fancy him, even though he's, you know, well, he's Ewan McGregor.
Even though you still really have the memories of Train Spotting, you could come
yeah, exactly.
in him. Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, I would recommend it. But that's why I was looking up, does Rufus Wainwright speak French?
And the answer is, oui.
The answer is, kind of. Jesse. Right. Oh my God, Jess. Is this a genuine search? Is Tokyo in Japan? Oh, come on now. Come on.
So, yes, it is a genuine search.
Oh my God. I resigned from the podcast. I am seeking a new podcast co-host.
I'll tell you for why. I was inspired, should we say, by our guest last week, Poppy Adams, who regaled us with many stories about her kind of like Tinder highs and lows, all of her matches and stuff. And it inspired me to re-download Hinge onto my phone, not really to match with anyone, just to, you know, remind myself what men look like. And
in Hertfordshire?
No, I put myself in London.
Oh, great. Yeah, because all that commuting you're doing.
Well, that's the thing. I've got no intention of meeting up with anyone for now. But the thing that always happens, and I remember why I hated this before, is because you see someone that you fancy and you want to send a message to. And there's that moment, or like, I get this anyway, where I'm like, reread whatever I'm going to say a million times. Because I'm like, I'm going to have misspelled something. I'm going to have written different words to the things that are in my head. Like, you just get a bit anxious about it. So I'm rereading. It takes me usually about 5 to 10 minutes to send a sentence because I need to check.
Are you joking?
No. I need to check it a lot of times in case, you know, something wild's happened. Yeah. This guy who I sent to you, I think...
Remind me, sorry, it's been a long fucking week.
So in answer to the question, a funny travel story or something, his was like, I got my arse sliced open by the ski of an elderly Japanese businessman. And I was
very
like,
nice.
I was like, this, that's quite funny. Anyway, my response was, I hope he took you to hospital.
Oh my God, Jess. Welcome back to the podcast, Jess.
But it took me so long. It took me so long to convince myself and feel happy that Tokyo was actually in Japan that I had to Google it. And like, I know it is. I know, like, if I'd just been sitting here today, I'd be like, of course it is. Like, that's so stupid. But it's that anxiety on a dating app that made me have to check it.
Well, Jess, look, I was initially quite disappointed by this search. But you redeemed yourself with that pun, which is top draw.
I know, thank you. He hasn't replied. Anyway.
He hasn't replied.
No, but I think, you know, that says more about him, I've settled on, than me.
I agree. I mean, although, what pics have you used?
Well, like I said again in the podcast last week, I don't have the luxury of being able to pick between 200 to 300 stunning photos and leaving a little back. So they're like, okay.
Oh God, listen to us. Should we do a photo shoot at some point?
No, because do you remember what last time we did a photo shoot with me?
No, don't fucking talk to me about that photo shoot. I found those pictures the other day and I was fucking wetting myself. That wasn't a photo shoot, Jess.
Yes,
that wasn't
it was.
Like me.
It was a formal photo shoot, which I needed.
It was very fucking formal because you looked like some kind of extra in like fucking Downton Abbey.
I looked like the charwoman at the Grantham Lodge.
Do you want to tell people what this is about?
I needed very last minute before I went on a holiday a couple of years ago, to renew my passport photo because my passport had expired. So me and James were living with each other at the time, and I said to him, can you please, can you please take a new passport photo for me? Cue about an hour of me standing in the lounge while Jim went on, like, you were all over, you were going into like different positions.
I went a bit Rankin, didn't I? I was like, yeah, give it to me.
And obviously you can't really give it to someone in a passport photo. You have to look very severe. Or I looked very severe.
Severe doesn't come fucking close. You honestly, you looked fucking devastated in those pictures. I love those pictures. So we'll have to share. I mean, do you want to share those pictures?
Oh yeah, I'm over it now. I cried at the time. There was a lot of tears.
Yeah, I'll just share these because there's no way that I can explain how funny they are without a visual. What was also really funny is that you never wear your hair like this, but because it said you have to have your hair like away from your face, you pinned it back like one of the land girls.
Yes, it was a low bun. It said your bun can't be on top of your head. And I was like, well, that's how I basically wear all my hair all the time.
Yeah, so it was kind of like interwar cosplay.
Anyway, I loved
it. Why are we talking about that?
Why I was looking up if Tokyo was in Japan.
Oh, Tokyo. Yes, yes, yes. I also re-downloaded Hinge.
And?
Well, spurred on by A, Poppy last week, and B, also getting dumped on London Bridge on a walk.
You didn't tell me it was on London Bridge.
Did I not?
I didn't realise that makes the whole thing even sadder.
Yeah, yeah. I've been talking to somebody. Yeah, we'd gone on some walking dates as much as we can in this period of time. And I went on a 45-minute walk and got dumped in earshot of other people on London Bridge, which was it was incredibly degrading and humiliating and very public. So that was nice. So I'm back in business, boys and girls. Line up in an orderly fucking queue. Anyway, shout out to the guy that dumped me on London Bridge. Thanks for your kind of poetic nastiness.
Yeah, this episode's for you. James, why were you looking up? Oh, why were you looking up Bebo?
Because it's back, bitch.
For real?
Bebo is back. It was bought by, I think, Amazon. I mean, everything's fucking bought by Amazon. You know, I think at this point they own 51% of every individual on the planet. Yeah, they bought Bebo, and I think there's some indication that it's going to be back in the next kind of little while. I kind of think it might be brilliant, like to have a different social network.
Bebo was the one where you ranked your friends, or is that MySpace?
I think that was on both of them. I think they both had a top friends area.
That'll be nice.
But I think it. Yeah, that was nice. Yeah, and very contentious. I actually think there was a point in time where I was nobody's top friend, which was really nice.
Okay. Yeah, well, this is the thing, you remember that. That's exactly why this stuff shouldn't be back.
I do remember that.
I'm gonna start a campaign. Fuck
to
Bebo.
Not bring it back.
Fuck Bebo.
I think they should do a launch with Justin Bieber.
They have to
do that. If they do that, I think it stands a chance. If they don't, if they miss that trick, then they're fucked from the outset. I remember my Bebo page being really, it's interesting over time, your writing style adapts quite a lot. I remember I used to actually write exactly how I talk, including like, anyway, so I remember my about me being like, hey guys, so anyway, here I am, I'm on Bebo, and like, I'm James, I'm 12, or what? No, not 12, how old 14? Are we? 14, and like, here are my friends, and I love my friends. I felt the need to address all of my friends in the about me thing. I was like, and I love Jess. Jess is my friend. We like to laugh and stuff and like do funny things together. Ha ha.
That's terrible content. Imagine if we did that on the podcast, just took about 40 minutes at the start to list everyone we knew and why we loved them.
And me and this guy like to go to London Bridge where he dumps me. Ha ha ha.
Ha.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so that's what I was looking at. Bebo is back.
Wow. They're going to have to do some serious, like, upgrades, but also what's its niche going to be? Because it's got so many competitors now in terms of social platforms. Like, what's Bebo going to offer that Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all that doesn't?
Oh, look at you knowing all the names of all the social media.
New word, TikTok.
Jess is up to speed, aren't you? Do you know about Twitch as well?
Got absolutely no fucking idea what that is. Why were you looking up Akon? Poor attempt at trying to describe this girl. That sounds like a very me search, actually. Glad to see I'm rubbing off on you.
So I was talking to my sister, who I thought this was her joke. I'd always kind of attributed this joke to her. But you know the song by Akon that goes, I'm trying to find the words to describe this girl without being disrespectful. And how does it finish, Jess?
Damn, you're a sexy bitch.
And I thought it was my sister's joke that, you know, try harder, basically, because, yeah, you know, it's fairly disrespectful, sexy bitch. And she reminded me, actually, this was not her joke. This was actually from a Facebook group back in the day called Akon's Poor Attempt at Describing the Girl Without Being Disrespectful. The group still exists. It has 10,000 likes on it. I mean, also, there's also a whole blog that someone's written called Does Akon Succeed in His Attempt to Not Be Disrespectful? And it got me onto, I thought it'd be quite fun, Jess. I don't know how you feel about this. I thought it'd be quite fun because back in the day, the way we used to use Facebook is like, it was like the equivalent of memes, I think. I'm making it sound like we're like prehistoric, but people created groups for like just individual jokes.
Yeah.
So I went through ours.
That we are mutually a part of, or?
Not mutually, no. I went through the ones that we're both individually a part of. Which one do you want to start with? Do you want to start with mine or yours? I found the funniest ones.
Yours, please.
Okay, this is a really gimpy one for Pokemon fans. The Loch Ness Monster is clearly a Lapras. There you go. Saying your mum to your brother / sister. I liked that. Thought that was funny. Back in the day. Cool. Oh my God, this one's really good. My magic brings Hermione Granger to the yard and she's like, it's Leviosa. That has 53,000 likes on it. So I'm clearly a joke that had some legs. Okay, I think those are mine.
Oh God.
Oh no. CJ from Eggheads really irritates me.
I think I was in that group as well.
That was very niche. Only 109 people liked that group, but I felt the need. I felt compelled to subscribe. Sure. Yours, Jess. You ready for yours? Okay. So to your credit, Jess, there's loads of really solid campaigns and loads of like really ethical things that, you know, that hold up, like No More Page 3 and things like that. But you've also liked Bruce Bogtrotter. Bruce Bogtrotter's fan page. Thank you, Cookie. Shout out to Bruce.
Yeah.
You also liked this page called The Camel Called, He Wants His Toe Back. Okay, there's so many more. Great. This one is so gimpy and basic and so pumpkin spice. 10 more minutes in bed. Oh, this was one of mine, actually. Locking your pet in your room to make it spend time with you. so bad. Oh, no, this was actually on my page, but I feel like, you remember when people used to hijack your Facebook page and kind of do, you know, send your brother a picture of your tits or whatever, you know. Those kind of disgusting things. Two of my likes, which I don't remember clicking, so I feel like might have been probably your handiwork, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm guessing so.
Sweaty ball sacks.
Oh, yes.
I joined the fan page off, and I hate... I hate itchy ass cracks.
Oh yeah, that does have me written all over it.
It does have that flavour for sure. So yeah, I was just reflecting on how incredibly funny some of that stuff was, and there you go, that's a little insight into 14-year-old us. Okay, Jess, why were you looking up Glenn Hoddle Swindon?
Yeah, so Glenn Hoddle was on The Masked Singer. But if you've seen The Masked Singer, which I'm a big fan of now, basically they do these little kind of like clue videos before their performances every week. So it will give like little hints as to the identity of the person behind the mask. And my brother, who lives in Swindon, noticed that on his little hint video, there was an envelope that had a postcode for Swindon on it. But once he'd been unmasked, I wanted to find out what the fuck Glenn Hoddle had to do with Swindon. And it turns out he played there in his veteran career.
Yes, yeah. I listened to Glenn's vocals. He has quite a surprising sound, doesn't he, Glenn?
It was a big shock when he was unveiled. I can't remember what his costume was.
Grandfather Clock.
Oh, he was Grandfather Clock. Yeah. Screaming like, yes, Grandfather Clock at the TV.
That's like a very impassioned viewing party for Beauty and the Beast, isn't it?
Yes, Cogsworth.
Yes, Lumiere, come through. I actually, when I saw Glenn Hoddle as the Grandfather Clock, I instantly thought of, you know, the guy that I slept with who poured hot wax on me without my permission, who I nicknamed Lumiere. So I instantly thought of him, like, be our guest.
Yeah, no, it's a shame that Glenn didn't manage to incorporate any sadomasochistic parts.
That would have been quite something. Glenn Hoddle as the Grandfather Clock doing S&M by Rihanna. Oh, I love the feeling you get to me. Oh, but he had quite a dulcet voice. I'd be like, oh, I love the feeling you give to me. Girl, it turns me on.
He was quite croonery, wasn't he? Yes, he was definitely trying to evoke Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby.
Was that his Nordic counterpart?
God, it sounds so unglamorous. Bing Crosby immediately sounds like the local like shopkeeper rather than...
I think it sounds like a character in an Ibsen play, Crosby.
He definitely sounds like a servant character. Crosby, yeah. Get the door.
Crosby. Oh my God, Bing Crosby. Jesus Christ. Yeah, he had Glenn had quite like a kind of like a poor man's Frank Sinatra kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wank Sinatra. The twat pack.
When he's doing his S&M act, the scat pack. Bing Crosby and the scat pack.
Oh my God, the scat pack. Jesus Christ. Goodness gracious, that's so funny. I wasn't expecting that from Glenn, but lovely.
Okay, James, why were you looking up Rita Ora?
Rita Ora is become the kind of, what's the word, bête noire of the UK. She's like the opposite of the nation's sweetheart. What's that called?
Shyster.
Shyster, yeah, she's become UK shyster. Because she for her birthday, I think it was her 30th, she hosted a load of people in a club in West London, and it emerged this week that she actually paid off the club to not make a fuss about it. Not only did she just kind of like host it and then go, oh, whoops, sorry, I made a mistake. She intentionally paid them off, knowing that it was obviously wrong. Yeah, and then proceeds to host a massive party in Notting Hill. She's the... do we have a jingle for Selfish Cunt of the Week?
No, but I'll edit one in.
Okay, great. Well, she is Search Party's Selfish Cunt of the Week.
How many people were at the party?
Loads. Like 50 plus, I think.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, profoundly selfish. Well, also, here's the other thing as well. So the reason why it was extra bad is that she'd gone to do a private gig in Egypt and then flew back. And then within the, what, rather than quarantining, she hosted her 30th during that period of time. So it's a, it's like a triple fucking whammy. So she said, oh, I've donated my fee to, I've donated my fee from that gig to charity. I'm like, we'd like the receipts, please, Rita. Who's hot right now, Rita? Okay, Jess, can you tell me why you were looking up Our Time dating app?
Our Time dating app. So basically, I watch, as podcast listeners will probably have guessed, a lot of ITV3 reruns of old crime dramas. I also do a lot of my searches revolve around that as well. Like, I can't count the number of times a Midsummer Murders search has been on my weekly search history. Anyway, I started getting targeted with some ads for an app that is called Our Time. And I decided to give it a quick Google. And the tagline is Our Time dating app, the mature dating site for like-minded singles over 50. I'm trying not to read too much into it, although it is hard. But yeah, that's happened, and it's really made me kind of think that I probably need to switch up my viewing habits somewhat.
Did you join it?
No, I did not, but I might do just as a social experiment, of course. Not a real thing, obviously.
Oh, no, Jess, you don't do that. You probably kill people with excitement. People will be sitting at home going, oh, I've matched with Jessica. Don't want that. Don't want blood on your hands.
God, yeah, that's true. I don't want to give anyone a coronary. So, yeah, I mean, I don't. Yeah, that's, I mean, hilarious. It's kind of hilarious. It's also kind of depressing.
So I think you can see, can't you, if you go into the back end, you can see like the advertising profile. So you can see like what it says about you, like the assumptions that have been made off the back of the stuff that you've been looking at. So
I think that might push me over the edge.
It's often a tough rate. You can see like, why am I seeing this? And yeah, mine's basically quite depressing as well, because it's like, you're probably gay and you're probably fat,
right? Okay. Yeah, mine would be like, you're probably over 60 and you're probably recently bereaved. Just moved into a home.
When you looked at the app, how many pounds worth M&S vouchers do you get for signing up? Have you also received any ads for wills? My sister gets quite a lot of like pregnancy stuff. Do you get that?
Don't
I suppose you've hit menopause in advertising terms, haven't you?
It's you to close this week.
Oh my goodness gracious. Okay, great.
One learning from this week. What are you taking away from all of the searches?
So I'm pleased to report that Tokyo is still in Japan. I'm also really delighted to inform you that Glenn Hoddle did indeed play for Swindon. This is like really impactful stuff that we share with people. And Jess is, in advertising terms, 75, which is all good shit. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. As ever, please continue to share with mates and family and friends who you think are kind of low life enough to enjoy this. Mm. Follow us on Instagram at Search Party Pod, and review us if you enjoy the show with, you know, 5-star, anything less than that, just jump off a cliff. And as it helps us reach more people.
Keep it real, guys.
Thanks very much. Keep it real. Don't do anything we wouldn't do. Which is nothing.
Also, can't wait to chat to you all on Bebo.
Lots of love to you all. Kind regards. Stay safe. And we'll see you next week on a Sunday.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.